I was on a retreat this past week at a monastery in Boston, of all weeks. And I brought along on retreat some writing by one of my favorite theologians and saints, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Lutheran pastor in Germany. And he came of age in the tumultuous 1920s and early 30s. I've always appreciated Bonhoeffer's writing. And his book, The Cost of Discipleship, has been among the most influential books on my life and faith and belief. As the title of the book would suggest, Bonhoeffer believes that discipleship should be costly. Following Jesus is the process of taking up our cross and choosing to love compassionately and bravely in a sin-sick world. Grace is God's free gift to us, but it is a gift that is bought with the life of Jesus, and thus it demands our whole lives in response. Dietrich Bonhoeffer rejected the ideology of the Third Reich, and he tirelessly preached and worked against it. His efforts did not go unnoticed, and he was eventually arrested by the Nazis and imprisoned for several years, and then executed mere days before the Allied forces liberated his concentration camp. One of my most frequent and fervent prayers is that God would bless me with even a fraction of the grace and courage of Bonhoeffer, so that I would always stand up for the gospel, for the message and meaning of Christ, even when the world seems all too eager to trample it underfoot. Bonhoeffer was a leader in what is known as the Confessing Church. The Confessing Church consisted of a minority group of German Christians who resisted the erosion of virtue in their society and spoke out against the hatred and bigotry that was growing all around them and even within the broader majority Lutheran church in Germany. Now, the word confessing in the name Confessing Church isn't referencing the confession of sin. They weren't just sitting around confessing their sins all the time. They chose the word confessing to honor their yearning to confess the truth, truth with a capital T, to proclaim it, to be witnesses to it. They saw as their holy obligation the calling to be truth tellers, testifiers to Christ in a society where the claims of the gospel were increasingly dismissed and where bedrock Christian values and virtues like love, charity, peace, patience, self-control were disregarded. They embraced this risky calling, even though they knew that cultural and political forces were strongly allied against them. And so their adherence to the merciful and compassionate way of Jesus became a sort of holy and humble countering witness. Bonhoeffer and the Confessing Church were already in my mind last week, and then all the more so when I read the gospel appointed for today. In it, Jesus talks about strange days that lie ahead for his followers. Jesus' disciples had been with him for many months at this point, and they'd seen him do amazing things, healing the sick, feeding the multitudes, transforming lives. And so it's understandable if they assumed that things were just going to keep on getting better and better forever on a continuous and unbroken chain until finally everything would be on earth as it is in heaven. Truth be told, I sometimes have that same attitude too, that everyone and everything is on a long arc of progress. And if we can all just hang in there long enough, everyone will eventually get it. And there will be universal goodness and kindness and love. And then inevitably, something happens that exposes my naivete. And I realize that Jesus never once said or taught that humanity will just slowly keep progressing on its own into some sort of better world. Never did Jesus once say, one day everyone will eventually decide to be kinder and more loving. Just you wait, disciples. 2,000 years from now, why? They're going to have it all figured out. Things are really going to start looking like heaven around here then. Jesus was a savior, not a politician. And so on his way to the cross, he told them that there would be days ahead when nations would be in conflict and the natural world would be a mess and things would seem really, really frightening. He warned them that unaided human progress is not God's strategy for salvation. You see, as much as I want it to be true, being a disciple of Jesus is not a guarantee of ease or comfort, or that situations and circumstances and events around us will always go our way. Sometimes we live in the midst of strange and unsettling times. Sometimes we wake up and we realize that today feels less peaceful than yesterday, and we are disturbed, and we are worried, and we are unsure what to do. But you see, this doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, or that God doesn't care, or that somehow God's no longer in charge. So rather than throwing up our hands in surprise and despair, rather than becoming hopeless or lost, for we who are on the way of Jesus, these moments have purpose. When Jesus warned his disciples that strange and difficult days lay ahead, he said it meant they had a job to do. In the midst of chaos and uncertainty, he told them that they are to testify, to bear witness. And he would give them words and wisdom that no one would be able to contradict. That was to be their job, their purpose. That was to be their calling, to proclaim by word and deed the kingdom of God. Which brings me back to Germany and Bonhoeffer and his friends and colleagues in the Confessing Church. In the span of just a few years in the 1930s, the society that they thought they knew and understood unraveled. They looked around and they became appalled at what they saw. The way minority groups like Jews and gays were scapegoated and targeted for harassment and violence. The way political leaders behaved like bullies and attacked and belittled anyone who disagreed with them. The way national identity became tied up with religious identity until patriotism was at last more important than faith. The way violence and brutality became the go-to method for solving problems. It was a strange and dark time. And yet through it all, the members of the Confessing Church knew their sacred calling. They knew they were meant to be testifiers to the truth. They were witnesses to the gospel and its message of grace and mercy. And so they rejected hate and bigotry, and they doubled down on what they knew and believed to be the way and the truth and the life. And just as Jesus said, by their endurance, by their faithful witness, by their courage, they gained their souls. regardless of how you feel about the outcome of the election, wherever it is that you identify yourself politically, I think we can all agree that we are living in strange times. We are a bitterly divided, highly polarized nation, with people across the political spectrum more willing to sling insults and justify their positions than to ever engage in real, deep discourse. In just this past week, swastikas have been drawn in public spaces. Racial slurs have been graffitied in schools and shouted at children. Hate speech is rampant. And the KKK, that harbinger of violent bigotry, is once again emerging from the shadows. Public bullies are now rewarded rather than rebuked. Minority groups are being harassed, and our Muslim, Jewish, LGBT, black, and brown neighbors are increasingly the targets of physical violence. Zealous patriotism is being mistaken for religious faith, and our nation now has more guns than people. In response to this strange and dark time, Jesus has given us a job to do. We are to be the confessing church. We are to testify with our lives, through our words and in our actions, that we believe in something greater, something bigger, something holier and more righteous than our circumstances. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we must find the courage and strength to proclaim that kingdom with everything that we have and everything that we are. We must root ourselves deeply in Jesus' grand vision of that kingdom, crystallized most perfectly in the Sermon on the Mount. And we must look again and again and again at his life for an example of how we are to be, what we are to do, how we are to live. And then we have to testify. Testify to what we believe to be the way and the truth and the life. We must be the light of a new confessing church in our own age. It will not be simple or easy. Jesus never said it would be. The lives of saints like Dietrich Bonhoeffer show us just what exactly is at stake when we choose to stand with Christ. Bonhoeffer lived in one of the darkest times the world has ever known, and yet he was able to cling unwavering to the truth. He knew what he was called to do and be as a follower of Christ. And he knew what the church was called to be and do as the body of Christ. And so he joined together with other believers in order to become that church. And as it was with him, so it must be with us. Hold fast to Jesus. Be witnesses to your loving Lord. Testify to this world what you know and believe to be the way and the truth and the life. And do not be afraid. For if we can endure, if we can confess with our whole selves this gospel, if we will let the love of Christ be our guide, then we will discover that God himself is with us, and he is holding fast to our souls. And all of God's people said,